We're holding on Dalet Omer Aleph, 7 lines from the top. We were discussing the question before of, according to, now again, the beginning of the Gemara had presented two different opinions why you had the din in our Mishnah that when a shliach brings a get from Medina Sayyam, from a place outside Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, or we continued in the Mishnah the possibility that also within Chutz La'aretz and so forth, anyway, that he should have to declare b'fanen nechtam, it was written and it was signed in my presence. So we had two reasons for that. Rabba's reason was because the people in Chutz La'aretz are not familiar with all the dinim of Gittin, including in particular the fact that it has to be written l'shma. So there's this concern that it may not have been written l'shma, or that either the Beis Din didn't know they have to write it l'shma, or that the husband may not know, at least, that it has to be written l'shma, and therefore he may pick up a get that was written for practice, or that was written by somebody else for his wife or whatever, and try to use it for himself, and that would be possible. And Rava's reason had been because in case the husband challenges the validity of the get and claims that that he wrote it for practice, or that the Edim, or that the Edim's signatures are forged or what have you, we should be able to have somebody come and validate it by saying b'fanen nechtam. In effect, he's validating that these signatures are the actual signatures of the people whose names they bear. So we've been discussing since the beginning of the ins and outs of those various opinions. The last thing we discussed was the point of, according to Rabba's reason, so there it comes out, according to Rabba's reason, that the get has to be written l'shma and it has to be signed l'shma. Because that's the point. He's saying that's why you have to say b'fanen nechtam, why you have to make both halves of the declaration is because you need it to have been written l'shma and also signed l'shma. The problem with that is, we said then, that our Mishnah doesn't seem to go according to either of the Tanoim whose opinions we knew on the subject. We knew of Reb Meir's opinion and Reb Elazar's opinion. Reb Meir holds that the writing does not have to be done l'shma, so according to him it shouldn't be necessary to say b'fanen nechtav. And Reb Elazar holds that the signatures aren't even necessary, because according to him it's perfectly valid without signatures written in the document at all. It's called Edim Sira Tauti. He holds that it's the Edim who observe when it's being handed over, that are the ones that accomplish the cutting off. They're the ones who accomplish that the get becomes valid. So according to him, the get is valid even without signatures written in it at all. So therefore, according to him, the signatures on the face of it don't have to be done l'shma. So then what's the problem? So according to him, you shouldn't have to say b'fanen nechtam. So if you happen to say b'fanen nechtam and b'fanen nechtam, then who are you following? So the last answer we gave was that we said it could actually be like Reb Elazar, because Reb Elazar would say, fine, it's one thing if there are no signatures in it at all, but if there are signatures and they're no good, as for example in this case where they were written shalom l'shma, or other examples would be if they were posel edim or what have you, then Reb Elazar would say that's even worse than having no edim at all, and therefore that's more reason to posel to get. Tosfos over here and Rashi later on in the Perek discuss various reasons why that should be. Rashi later on says that the reason is because what happens if the husband figures, let's say for example they were posel edim. So let's say he's going to figure, well, I don't care that they were posel. Like this, Reb Elazar is saying to begin with, we don't care that they're posel as long as the edim misira are kosher. But the husband may eventually get confused and think, well, if these edim are signed in the thing, why not just give it to her in their presence and have done with it, and not bear in mind that those edim were posel and therefore it's no good. So therefore, that would be a reason to posel it according to Reb Elazar, midrabanan, because of that concern. Tosfos over here makes a different point the point is that you might, never mind that, forget about who it might be given in front of, but you might think that then you're going to rely on such Edim or apostle or whatever and allow her to remarry based on their testimony that she's divorced, where in fact they can't because they're psula Edims. So whatever the case, the point is, so we had one answer to that, therefore, that our Mishnah could go like Reb Elazar, and that Reb Elazar would say that having signatures that are no good, in this case, that there were shalom l'shma, is worse than having no signatures at all. So now, 7 lines from the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues. Rav Ashi, or Mahamani Rav Yehudi, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. You could say there's a third Tana that our Mishnah could go like. Our Mishnah could go like Rav Yehuda, Ditznan, as we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta. or actually later on in our parak, really, Rabbi Yehuda Poisel, Adjitexi, Vasi, Vachzi, Masi, Batolush. We had, before we discussed the point that Rabbi Meir would say that if the get was written while it was attached to the ground, one of the 10 things that passes a get d'orai says if it's written on something attached to the ground. So Rabbi Meir would say, though, that since he doesn't care that the writing is done l'shma, as long as, according to him, the signatures are signed l'shma, then according to him, it can be written attached to the ground, and then you can detach it and then sign it, and that would be fine. Rabbi Lozo, vice versa, we had said, doesn't care about the signatures, but Rabbi Yehuda says that both the writing and the signatures have to be done betolush, have to be done when it's detached, implying that according to him, both the writing, both the actual text of the get and the signatures both have to have all the dinim of a get, including that they have to be l'shma. Therefore, our Mishnah, Rabbah's understanding of the din in our Mishnah of b'fanei nechta, being based on the idea of them not being familiar with the Shema, then therefore, according to him, that works out very nicely. Then we're saying that, according to him, you need b'fanei nechta, because that's Rabbi Yehuda would say that you need that in fact both of those things have to be done l'shma. Tosfos, by the way, points out, if it's written betolush, how is it going to be able to be signed the mechuber anyway, that Rabbi Yehuda should even need to mention it? Why is Rabbi Yehuda mentioning until that only if sivase vachsi mase, only if the writing and the signature is done betolush, once the writing was done betolush, how is the signature going to be done b'mechuber? And the answer is, Tosfos says, let's say you could have, for example, that he wrote the get on a trunk of a tree that was not attached to the ground at that point. Then he planted it, and it got rooted in the ground, and then the Edom signed on it. So then that would be an example. The writing was done betolush, but the signatures were done from a chuber, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's possible. Very well then. So Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who says that you need both the writing and the chasima to have all the dinim of a get, including that it needs to be lishma. Okay, so the Gemara asks, why did we not originally use this answer? Why did we have to wait until Rav Ashi comes along and gives us this answer? The earlier Amiroim, after all, knew of Rav Yehuda's opinion as well. It's in a Mishnah, and the Amiroim knew all the Mishnayos. So why didn't we, to begin with, give that answer instead of trying to give a doichak answer that would make it according to Rav Elazar? The answer is, Mahadrinan Arab Meir. There's two possibilities. Either we wanted to try to make the Mishnah work like Rav Meir, the Stamless Nisan Rav Meir, because after all, a Stam Mishnah is usually like Rav Meir, and therefore we have good reason to assume that our Mishnah should be like Rav Meir, or Mahadrinan Arab Elazar, the Kaimelon Hilchsak Avasevi Gitin, or we would prefer to go like Rav Elazar to say that the Mishnah is like Rav Elazar, because we know that the Halacha is like him in this din of Gitin, this din that we're saying that the signatures don't, that doesn't even matter if there's no signatures in the get at all, as long as if there's no signatures in the get at all, as long as it's given in the presence of valid Edom Asira Kauti, the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar in that, and therefore we would rather say that our Mishnah, which is giving a halacha, should also be like him. Rather than, so either that or Rav Meir, the Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, rather than Rav Yehuda, where then that would require us to say that the halacha is not necessarily going to be like our Mishnah, and we prefer not to do that. Tosfos discusses the point, when we say the halacha is like Rav Elazar in Gittin, does that mean only in Gittin, or now there are Rishonim who learn that way, the Rif learns that din is only by Gittin, he holds it would not apply to other shtaris you do have to have Edim signed in them. On the other hand, Tosfos over here discusses and says that no, as a matter of fact, the halacha would be like Rav Elazar with other shtaris as well. We would always say Edim is Sidur Kauti, and even if there are no Edim signed in the shtar, it would still be kosher as long as it was given in the presence of Edim. Practically speaking, like we learned before, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, in order to keep society running smoothly, we want to have Edim signed in the get or in whatever other shtar, because otherwise, if you're only going to depend on Edim who saw it being given, what happens when those Edim die or are out of town or whatever, we may not have any proof that the shtar or the get or whatever is valid. So therefore, much better to have kosher to edim signing it. But that's a practical consideration rather than a consideration of the halacha. Okay.
So the halacha says you don't need signatures. It's right. Better so to have them, but it's not.
Right. So according to the Rif, that din is only by Gittin, not by other shtaris. According to Tosfos, and then according to Tosfos and many other Rishonim, that is true of other shtaris as well. Yes. Okay.
So, and what's the halacha on that last point?
So that the halacha is like that. That it is the halacha is certainly by Gittin. It is kosher by other shtaris in general. When we have a machlokas Rishonim, as you know, we usually don't have a way of reconciling and saying that's it. Because you always have the different opinions. In particular, in Dine Mominus, much more than in other areas of halacha, you always have the possibility that a person, given that we know the Dine is Hamotz Mechaber al-Varai, you need a proof in order to take away money from a person to give to somebody else. So you have, in particular, in Dine Mominus, in Dine Mechosh and Mishpat, you very often have where a litigant in Beis Din can say, King Lee, I hold like such and such an opinion, and therefore you want to claim that money should be taken away from me, then you need to bring proof that the halacha is not like that. So that may well be the case over here, where, for example, if a malver were to bring a shtar that doesn't have edim signed in it, the loiver might well be able to claim, Kim Lee, I hold like the Rif, that by other shtaris you need to have signatures, and therefore your shtar is possible, and unless the other guy can prove the halacha is not like the Rif, then he may not have any recourse. With Dine Issa Vahetter, such as Gittin, we don't have that concept of Pimli.
So for Karka, what do you need signatures or not?
It doesn't really matter. It's not a matter of Karka versus theirs. I mean, the same thing would be by Karka and by Metalpolin. You would have the same thing. When it comes to Dine Mominus, you would have that situation where a person presumably could say, Kim Lee, I hold like the Rif. And therefore, if you want to say the halacha, therefore, if you want to claim and if you want to be able to claim money from me based on this shtar of yours, then you better be able to prove that. Then you better be able to prove that it's not like that. So
the other guy can say Kim Lee too. Is it you prove that the halacha is like you?
Okay, I'm Motzi Mechaber L'Varayim. You want to prove you want to be able to take you want to be able to take money from me away from me based on your shtar. Then bring proof that the halacha is that shtar would be a valid shtar. All right, anyway, let's go on. I mean, this point of Edim Mesira Karti, in particular, we're going to talk about it towards the end of the Masechta. We're going to have a great deal of discussion about that. So then we can get into that point. We can get into that point further, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Getting back now to Rabba and Rabba's reasons. So let's see. The Gemara says, Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see which of the two possibilities our Mishnah fits with better. We said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, so first we have the Tanna Kamma says that if a person brings a get from Medina Sayyam, he has to say, B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechtam. Then we have Rabbi Gamliel, Oyma Afa Mevi, Mina Rekam, Mina Cheger. Rabbi Gamliel had said that even if a person brings from Rekam and Cheger, which we said are cities on the border of Eretz Yisrael, on the southeastern border, or maybe the southwestern border, or maybe the northeastern border, whatever it is, Rabbi Gamliel had said that such places you have to say, B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechtam. And we said, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimer, Afilo Mekfar Ludim Lulud. And Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you bring the get from Kfar Ludim to Lud, then you would also have to say, Bafana Nechta, Bafana Nechta. And the Omer Abaya, and Abaya explains, what is the idea behind their machlokes? Why is the Tanakama? The Tanakama implicitly is saying, by not mentioning these things, the Tanakama is implicitly saying that you don't have to say, Bafana Nechta, Bafana Nechta, if you're bringing from Rechtem and Cheger. And similarly, Rabbi Gamliel does not hold if you bring from Kfar Ludim to Lud. It sounds like only Rabbi Gamliel was saying from Rechem and Cheger, and Rabbi Eliezer is adding not only from Rechem and Cheger, but also from Kfar Ludim Lulud. So what is the actual machlokas? Says Abaya, Ba'ayores ha-smuchos v'Eretz Yisrael u'mevlois b'tchum Eretz Yisrael askinim. What we're dealing with is cities that are near Eretz Yisrael and are also embedded within the border of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you think of it, borders don't go in straight lines always. You have many times you'll have borders go in and out, and you can have areas, as we talk about on Daf Beis, you can have areas that like are peninsulas of chutzlaretz that stick out into Eretz Yisrael. So those areas stick out as on two or three sides, they're surrounded by territory and towns of Eretz Yisrael, but they're actually part of chutzlaretz. So now, in other words, what happens is Rechem and Cheger are smuchos, they're near Eretz Yisrael, they're not muvlois, they're not surrounded by Eretz Yisrael territory on most sides, they're only smuchos, and Rav Gamliel was saying, very nice, they're smuchos, they may be next to Eretz Yisrael, but the fact is they are in Chutz La'aretz, therefore they have the din of Chutz La'aretz, and you have to say, b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. And Rebbe Eliezer is saying that even Kfar Ludim, where Kfar Ludim is not only smuchos, it's not only near Eretz Yisrael, it's even muvlois, it's even one of these kinds of things, which is surrounded on three sides by Eretz Yisrael territory, and still Rebbe Eliezer is saying that nevertheless it's still part of Medina Sayan. Because Rebbe Eliezer is saying, the fact is, it may be right next to Eretz Yisrael, it's smuchos, it's muvlois, all those good things. Nonetheless, the fact is, it's not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, the dinu b'fanei nechtam applies. So we see, in other words, what we have is a three-way machlokes. The Tanakhama is saying that there's only that the Tanakhama is saying the Dinas Hayam for this purpose is only places that are not next to Eretz Yisrael, that are far away. The Dinas Hayam literally means places that are by the sea or even overseas. Rav Gamliel is saying even when they're smuchos, as long as they're not muvlois, then they're also considered chutzlaris. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying, even if they're both smuchos and muvlois, then they're considered chutzlaris. And the Gemara continues, I want you to realize how close Kfar Ludim is to Lud. V'omar Rabbi Babachana, lididi chazi li'ahu asra. Rabbi Babachana said, I personally saw that area of Kfar Ludim and Lud. V'havi kimi bei kubi l'kum, v'havi Kimi Bei Kuvi La Pumbedisa, it was equivalent to the distance between Bei Kuvi and Pumbedisa, which are two places in Babel that the Chachamim of Babel would be familiar with. How far are those places? So the Gemara over here doesn't say. There's a Rashi in Masechta Sukkah that says that those places are six parsa apart. Six parsa being about 2.5-3 miles, then you're talking about six parsa would be somewhere around 15 to 18 miles. In fact, there was quite a bit of discussion among Achronim where exactly Rashi gets that from. Rashi doesn't give a source over there where he gets that information from. And from our Gemara, it seems to be mashma less than that they're fairly close together. Close enough that it could be conceivably considered part of Eretz Yisrael according to the Chachamim, and only Rabbi Eliezer is saying otherwise. So in fact, there is an explanation. In fact, the Aruch HaNer in Sukkah says over there that maybe there's a mistake in the text of Rashi. Instead of six parasa, maybe it's supposed to say 1/6 of a parasa. In that case, then you're talking only about 0.5 miles or so. And there's different others. There's another possibility. The Maharatz Chayyus says that instead of it's supposed to be 2 parasa, in which case you're talking about something on the order of 5 or 6 miles, which is a lot closer. Whatever the case, the point is that Kfar Ludim is relatively close to Lud, and we're saying it's muvlois. It's actually peninsula of Chutz La'aretz that sticks, or an enclave of Chutz La'aretz that sticks into Eretz Yisrael. And where the Gemara continues, Miklal b'Tanakama Sava Hani Leitzorit. Now, the fact that Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer have to mention this point implies that Rav Eliezer holds holds that it's not an issue. Such places, you don't have to say b'fanenechta. So now, let's consider. The Gemara is going to say, can we show then that Rabba's reason and Rava's reason for the whole takona of b'fanenechta maybe depends on this machloikas tanoim? Maybe we would say, my lab, shouldn't we say that that's the underlying machlokas? So you could say the Tanakama holds the reason for the whole takana of b'fanenechtam is because people in Medina Sayam are not familiar with the din of Lishma, so therefore Hani Gmiri. Now, when it comes to people who live in the places that are samuch, or the places that are muvla, in Eretz Yisrael, we can assume that those places, people are familiar with the dinim because they're close enough to Eretz Yisrael or even surrounded on all three sides by Eretz Yisrael territory, and therefore they tend to be more learned, you tend to have more hachamim over there, and therefore they're going to be more familiar with the dinim. So you would say the Tanakhama holds like Rabba's reason, Omar Sabah, where's Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, would hold that Lefishein Edim Mitzuri Lekaimai. They would hold with Rava's reason. The problem in Medina Sayam is because you may not be able to find Edim. These Edim signed the get in Medina Sayam. Now the husband is sending it from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, but eventually he may show up in Eretz Yisrael and protest and cast aspersions and claim that the get is not in fact valid, and you won't be able to bring the original Edim because they're who knows where in Medina Sayam. So according to that, so that you could argue that when it comes to Bahani, when it comes to people who live near Eretz Yisrael, or even in these peninsula is sticking into Eretz Yisrael. Nami lo shchichi, you could say also they may not be commonly visiting enough Eretz Yisrael. Or actually, Tosfos explained that would really be in Rabban Gamliel's reason. Rabban Gamliel's reason that he mentioned smuchos, they may be smuchos, nevertheless, they don't necessarily visit Eretz Yisrael often enough to be Mitzurian and Lakhaimah. Rabbi Eliezer's reason would be something else. Rabbi Eliezer would say, sure, Mavlois, of course, they're going to be visiting Eretz Yisrael regularly. Their territory is surrounded on three sides by Eretz Yisrael, but he would hold, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that the Chachamim didn't want to make, what the Gemara is going to say further down on the Amud, the Chachamim didn't say Yam, because that would get confusing. We know when the Chachamim make their Takanas, they usually make them across the board. So we could say, though, that the Tanakama holds like Rabba, and Rabbi Gamliel holds like Rabba. The Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily is that a valid comparison. In fact, you could say Rabba Matarit Tanay, the Rabba Matarit Tanay. In fact, both Rabba and Rabba would each be able to explain the various opinions in the Mishnah according to their respective shittas. Instead of saying that the Tanakama's shitta is only according to Rabba, and Rav Gamliel's shitta is only according to Rava, Rava would be able to explain both the Tanakhama and Rav Gamliel was going according to him, and similarly Rava would be able to do the same with his opinion. So let's go through that. Rava Matarit Tanay, Rava will explain it according to his svara. The idea is everybody agrees that the problem is that the people of Medina Sayyam are not familiar with the din of Lishma. So then, in that case, the machlokes over here, between the Tanakhama and Rav Gamliel, where the Tanakhama is not going to require people coming from Rekem and Cheger to be able to make this declaration, and Rav Gamliel will require, so the machlokes is Tanakhama Savar. The Tanakhama holds since places like Rekem and Cheger, they're close to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the people learn the halachos. They're close enough to Eretz Yisrael that the Chachamim from the mainstream parts of Eretz Yisrael, from the main areas of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael, visit them often enough, and therefore they come to be knowledgeable in these dinim. So therefore, you shouldn't need to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta when you bring it from them. But also, Rabban Gamliel the Meimer, Rabban Gamliel comes and says, it's one thing, Mavlois community, sure, the places that are embedded within the territory that are, where like you could draw a straight line between one part and another part of the border of Eretz Yisrael, and you'll include this area because it's like a peninsula, then fine, you would say, those areas, I agree, they're gemiri, those are null, those such places, I agree, they'd be knowledgeable. Therefore, Rabban Gamliel says, sure, if you bring a get from Kfar Ludim, which is an example of such a place, then he wants to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta. But smuchos, when it was just places that are close to Eretz Yisrael and not surrounded on most sides by it, like Miri, they're not necessarily familiar with the dinim of Lashma, and therefore you'd need to say this declaration. And then Rabbi Eliezer would come and say, Mavlois, Nami Loi, even when it comes to Mavlois, you, Rabbi Gamliel, are going to allow Mavlois on the grounds that they're familiar with B'fana Nechta, that they're familiar with the Lashma. Fair enough. But Shalai Tachlis B'Medina Sayyam. But you don't want to start making distinctions between B'Medina Sayyam, because then that would get confusing and the whole Takana would fall away. So therefore, the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, made a blanket rule. Any place that is outside the border, the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say B'Fananechtem, whether it so happens that such a place that is Mavlois and the people are familiar or whether not. So therefore, the Rabba will explain all the opinions in our Mishnah as they're all basing themselves on the idea of not being familiar with the Shema. Then Rava Matarit Tanei. Rava, meanwhile, will also explain the opinions in the Mishnah according to his Shita. He'll go as follows. Everybody will agree that the problem is that you can't easily find Edim to validate the signatures. The Tanakhama Sobahani, so the Tanakhama is going to hold places like Rechem and Cheger, given to Smuchos, since they're near Eretz Yisrael, Mishkach Shuchi, it will be easy enough to get Edim from those places to visit Eretz Yisrael and validate the signatures. If the whole concern is that the husband may claim these signatures are forged, it'll be easy enough if the get is being brought from Rechem and Cheger, it'll be easy enough to bring Edim from Rechem and Cheger, those places are close to Eretz Yisrael. As we learned on the mission, actually, it doesn't have to be those Edim themselves. It can be other people who know those, it can be other people who know them and can testify that we recognize their signatures, etc. The Rambam actually summarizes, by the way, in when it comes to the regular
when it comes to regular Kiyum Shtaris, when it comes to the regular idea of how Beis Din has to validate signatures, you actually have, the Rambam describes, we learned about it a little bit in Ksuvos, you actually have five different ways that are valid in Halacha to validate them. You can have the Edim themselves come, you can have other people come who testify that they recognize their signatures, Beis Din might have the signatures on file from previous Shtaris and they can compare, and so on and so forth. So you have several different ways. So the same way, Rambam Gamliel is going to say it, says, but the Tanna Kamma, rather, we'll say over here, Rechem and Cheger are in Chutzlaret. That is true. Technically, they're not part of Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, it will be easy enough to have the Edim or somebody who knows the Edim's signatures come to Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael and certify the signatures. So therefore, no problem. But also Rambam Gamliel the Meimer. Now Rambam Gamliel comes and argues and says, again, Muvlois Shrichi. Sure, when it's places that are Muvlois, that are embedded within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, again, where they're surrounded on three sides by Eretz Yisrael territory, Shrichi, then they're commonly enough located, they'll visit Eretz Yisrael commonly enough to be able to certify their signatures. Smuchos Lo Shrichi, but if they're just neat, so therefore Kfar Lodim, it will be fine, but Rechem and Cheger, which are only smuchos, which are only near the territory of Eretz Yisrael, but not Muvla, Loishchiki, the people from there are not going to commonly enough visit Eretz Yisrael for it to work out. But also Rabbi Eliezer Lamema, and then Rabbi Eliezer comes and says another point: Muvlois Nami Loi, even the Muvlois, even though it's true, the people from there will easily be visiting Eretz Yisrael all the time. People from Kfar Ludim, for example, are constantly going to be visiting Lud. Nevertheless, Nami Loi, then we're still not going to say that they can get away without this declaration for the same reason. Shall I tackle from Medinas Hayam? In order that you don't start making distinctions between Medinas Hayam, between one area of Medinas Hayam and another. But in fact, so again, all the opinions in the Mishnah could work out equally well according to Rav. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, let's look at the next part of the Mishnah and see if maybe we can relate that next part to the Machlokas of Rabbah and Rava. Tanan, we continue in the Mishnah. V'chachamim oimrim. Now, after we had the Tanna Kamma, we had Rav Gamliel, we had Rav Eliezer. Now we have V'chachamim oimrim. These chachamim obviously are different than the chachamim that we had before. So altogether, we have a four, on the face of it, then we have a four-way machlokas in the Mishnah. And the Gemara later on is going to call these chachamim Rabbanan Basroi, meaning the later chachamim in the sense that they're later in the Mishnah. They're not necessarily later chronologically. They may have lived at the same time as the Tanna Kamma, but they're mentioned later in the Mishnah, and therefore they're called Rabbanan Basroi. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, "Ein etzarach shiyem b'fana nechta b'fana nechtam ela hamevi get m'dinas hayam." So only when does somebody have to say b'fana nechtam? Only if he's bringing a get from m'dinas hayam, v'hamoylech, or if he's bringing a get away from Eretz Yisrael to m'dinas hayam. So before we use the expression maybe to refer to when the person is bringing the get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and moylech for when he's going in the opposite direction, coming from from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. The reason behind that is the Chassam Sofer actually gives an explanation, very simple. The Tana of the Mishnah lived in Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Tanoim lived in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, from his point of view, anyone who's bringing a get to Eretz Yisrael is bringing it, and anyone who's taking it elsewhere is moylech, is bringing it elsewhere. The later Chachamim in the Mishnah had said that if a person is bringing from Medinas Hayam or from Eretz Yisrael to Medinas Hayam, either way he needs to say b'fana nechtam b'fana nechtam. So let's consider Mikhlal the Tanna Kamma sava moylech lo tzarech. So the implication is the Tanna Kamma would say that if a person is bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, he doesn't need to say b'fana nechtam b'fana nechtam. My lab bahokamitsugi. So shouldn't we say that is the underlying machlokas between the earlier chachamim in the Mishnah and the later chachamim? Demar sava l'fishke ein b'kiyim l'shma. So the Tanna Kamma is going to hold the reason for the takana is because they're not familiar with l'shma, and therefore v'hani gmiri. The people of Eretz Yisrael are knowledgeable in it. Therefore, if you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael to Medinas Hayam, there's no need to say b'fana nechtam b'fana nechtam because we'll know automatically that a get that's being brought from Eretz Yisrael was written l'shma, because we know the people of Eretz Yisrael are familiar with that concept. Or Mar Sabra Shein Edim Mitzrayim, L'fli Shein Edim Mitzrayim L'kaimoy, whereas the Rabban and Basroi, the later Chachamim, are going to hold that the reason behind versus Rabbi Gamliel versus Rabbi Eliezer are not necessarily arguing about the reason behind the Takana. They're just arguing, are people in city, what, they're just arguing on the actual Metzius. Are the people in, Rabbi Gamliel is arguing on the actual Metzius. Are the people in Rechem and Cheger knowledgeable enough in Lashma, or are they not? Or are they easily enough able to come to Eretz Yisrael to testify about their signatures, or are they not? And Rabbi Gamliel would say, and Rabbi Eliezer rather would say, Shalai Tachlet, Rimidinus Hayam. But now we're saying, so fine, we could say that so far the first three opinions in the Mishnah work according to either Rabbah or Rav. But the fourth opinion, on the face of it, it seems to be that they and the Tanna Kamma are arguing about precisely Rabbah and Rav's point. The Gemara says no. Also, Rabbah Mataritz Tanei, Rav Mataritz Tanei. No, you could also say that Rabbah will find a way to make all of the opinions work according to his understanding, and Rava will make them work according to his understanding. Rabbah Mataritz Tanei. So Rabbah will go according to his shita and explain like this: the Kula Alma Lafishay Bekiyim Lishma. Everybody will agree that the problem that necessitated the Takana in the first place of Bufana Nechtam is the fact that not everybody is familiar, that people in the Din of Sayyam are not familiar with the Din of Lishma. So therefore, so now in principle, then when you bring it from Eretz Yisrael, that shouldn't be an issue. V'hacha b'gzeres moilech oto mevi komifli. The machlokas is only, are we going to, the machlokas is only, are we going to say that we make a gzera, we make an additional part of the gzera, that we have to make this takana and say b'fana nechtam, even when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, in order, because otherwise people will confuse it with the other way around. Just you see that a person bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael does not need to say b'fana nechtam, then people are going to jump to conclusions and say that vice versa is also true, and then the whole takana will fall away. Usually, by the way, we say that the Chacham don't make a gzera la gzera. That once the Chacham make one gzera, they don't make a second gzera to back up the first one. But there are many times in Shas where the Gemara itself will say, or if the Gemara doesn't say, then Rishonim will explain that kula chod gzera, it's really all one big gzera, because the whole gzera, if you tried to make one part of the gzera without the other, it might not last, because people wouldn't understand the distinction, and therefore the whole gzera would end up falling away. So that's how it would be here, for example. You would say that the according to Rabbah, in principle it's true. The only time you should need to is when you're bringing from Chutz La'aretz. But if you do that, then what happens is people see that you only need to in one direction and not the other. Then they're going to end up being careless with the other direction either. So the Tanna Kamma stava loigas min and moilach altru maybe. So the Tanna Kamma will say, I don't hold that that's a problem. There's no need to make such a gzera. So therefore, it's fine to just say it when you bring it from the Dinas Hayam. V'rabban and Basroi, whereas the later Chachamim in the Mishnah, Savri, they will hold gazrin and moilach altru maybe, that we do have to make a gzera, because if you don't give, you even when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael, because otherwise you may confuse it with the case where you're bringing from Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so in that case, so that being the case, then it comes out that it comes out, so that would be the whole machlokas. They wouldn't actually even necessarily be, they wouldn't even necessarily actually be arguing on the fundamental point of why the gzera exists, but rather they're arguing how far do we have to extend this gzera to make sure that it gets upheld. The Tanna Kamma will hold you don't have to extend it any further, and the Rabban and Basroi will hold that you do. The Rava Matarit Tatanei, Rava then will explain the opinions in the Mishnah according to his shita. He'll say, "Dekulei Alma Lafishein Edim Mitzuyin Lekaimai." Everybody is going to agree that the reason behind the Takana is because you won't be able to easily find Edim to certify the signatures. And then it comes out, says Rava, "But Rabbanan Basroi Lefarushe Taimed the Tanna Kamma Uda Osu." The later Chachamim are not coming to argue on the Tanna Kamma like Rava would say. They are actually saying they're just coming to clarify what he's saying. The Tanna Kamma had only said when you're bringing from Medinas Hayam, which the implication, you might have misunderstood it to mean that if you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael, that if you're carrying it away from Eretz Yisrael to Medinas Hayam, you shouldn't need to say it. So now that Rabban and Basroi are informing you, don't think that way. As a matter of fact, the same din also applies in the other direction, and the reason would be not as because of a gzera even, but because if the whole point is and that concern applies equally well whether you're coming from Chutz La'aretz or whether you're coming from Eretz Yisrael. So the Rashba, by the way, brings up a point. He says, well, then it comes now, according to Rava, then what is the meaning of the wording that the Rabban and Basroi are using? They're saying that a person does not need to say b'fanenechtem, unless he's bringing from Chutzlaret to Eretz Yisrael, or unless he's taking from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaret. So El Hamedim, if the Rabban and Basroi are coming to clarify what the Tanakhama is saying and to add an extra chumrah over what he's saying that you might not have realized from the Tanakhama's wording, then instead of saying Ein Et Sorich, it should have said Chachamim Et Sorich Shiyama b'fanenechtem. So how can we say that they're explaining what the Tanakhama says? And the Rashba answers that the Ein Et Sorich is really not referring back to the Tanakhama, it's referring back to Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer. So Rav Gamliel is saying that even Mavois, is saying that even Smuchos, rather, have to say it. Rav Eliezer is saying that even Mavlois have to say it. And now that Abban and Basroi are coming and saying, no, Smuchas and Mavlois you don't have to worry about. Ein Et Sorich, you don't have to when you're bringing from those places. Ella, only you should know when the Tanakhama said, when you're bringing from Chutzlaret to Eretz Yisrael, it also includes when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaret, but only when there's a concern of, only when there's a concern of Ein Eidim Et Sorich L'Kaimai. And we, Abban and Basroi, are saying that there's no problem with that with Smuchas and Mavlois, respectively, and therefore that you don't need to say b'fanenechtem when you're bringing from Smuchas or from Mavlois. Okay. The fact is, though, the Ksav Sofer points out that this answer is a little bit of a doichot, really, which is why the Gemara, which is why in Rabbah, in explaining Rabbah, the Gemara didn't want to use this reason. Instead, in explaining Rabbah, the Gemara preferred to say that there is, in fact, a multi-way machlokas over here, because this explanation that the later Chachamim are only coming to clarify is a bit of a doichot. So fine, according to Rabbah, there's no choice. According to Rabbah, the alternative is to say that there's machlokas, and we would rather do that because that's the more straightforward meaning of their opinion. The Gemara continues. Now, let's look at another part of our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, how maybe get the Medina Lamedina bin Medina Sayyam, if a person brings a get from one country to another within Medina Sayyam, or not from one country to another within Medina Sayyam, and he still has to say the declaration. So the Gemara says, so the implication is that if you're bringing it within one country in the Nesayam, then you wouldn't need to say the Takana. Rashi, by the way, adds the point that Ba'osa Medina means from one city to another. In other words, the implication is, according to Rashi, that we're saying that within one Medina, even though you're bringing it from one city to another, and you could conceivably be concerned that people in one city might be familiar with the din, and people in another city might not, or rather, when you're going from one city to another, according to Rava's reason, again, the issue is that you may not have Adim, Mitsui, and Matayim. You would say that within one city you can always have Adim Syrian Latinoi, but not necessarily from one city to another. Rashi says the implication of a city to another, you wouldn't need to make a declaration. Tosfos, in fact, discusses that point and says, why would that be? I mean, even if you're from one city to another, wouldn't you have the same issue? Anyway, the point is that we're saying that if you bring from one Medina to another, then you need to say the last part of the Mishnah is saying you need to say b'fanenechtem. Ha ba'osa Medina Medina Siyam lo tzarech, implying that if you're within one country, you don't need to. Well, the Rava Micha, according to Rava, then that's very easy to understand. The reason why you need b'fanenechtem is because ein edim etzuyin l'taim, right? Well, very well. If you're within one country, then edim, it's relatively easy to find edim etzuyin l'taim, right? So therefore, it's not such a problem that you should need to be able to make this declaration if the husband starts protesting that I didn't
if this get, the signatures are forged, or what have you, it'll be easy enough for to bring Adim to substantiate that these signatures are valid. And then everything was done on the up and up. The Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, isn't it a problem? According to Rabba, if the whole reason is the problem of that they're not familiar with the dinim of the Shema, then how is it help that you're within one country? The fact is, within that one country, they may not be familiar with the din. So why shouldn't you need to say it? And the answer, the Gemara answers, Loi tema ha ba'osim b'dinim b'dinasiyam loi tzarech. No, you're making a wrong inference from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not implying that. Within one Medina and Medina Sayyam, you shouldn't need to say it. As a matter of fact, Rabba would explain that the Mishnah means, even if you're within one Medina and Medina Sayyam, you're still going to have to say, b'fana nechtam, because the fact is, the problem is that they don't know the Shema, and we have to assume that everybody in that country is not familiar with that din. So what is the Mishnah implying by mentioning Mimedina Limedina, which seems to be as opposed to within one Medina? So Ella Ema, rather say, what you should infer from the wording of the Mishnah is Mimedina Limedina Be'eretz Yisrael Loitzarech. Within Eretz Yisrael, if you're going from one country to another in Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to say B'fana Nechtam. Because everybody in Eretz Yisrael is familiar with the din, and therefore you don't need to say it. So therefore, in other words, like this, you're saying because the Mishnah had said Medina la Medina Medina Sayyam, you're trying to infer from that that there's a difference within Medina Sayyam between from one Medina to another versus within one Medina. Rabbi would say no, that's not the inference you should derive from the Mishnah. The inference you should derive is Medina la Medina, or even within one Medina in Chutzlaretz, you do have to say. When do you not have to say? When you're in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're going Medina la Medina. So that would be the implication to derive from it. So therefore that fits well with that with Rabbi Shitta. Well, the Gemara says, well then why? Which in that case, the Tosfos says, in that case, so why does the Mishnah have to say anything about Medina la Medina at all? It should just say, if you're bringing within one Medina and Medina Sayyam, then you have to say it, implying an Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need. And the answer is, because otherwise you would think, maybe Medina la Medina, Eretz Yisrael, maybe we should pay attention to Rava's reason and say that you should need to. So right now, at this stage of the Gemara, we're saying that you don't need to at all, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. Now, eventually, the Gemara is going to finally get to, on Daf Vav, the Gemara is going to end up saying that Rava does agree that Rava's reason is a consideration, and we do have to take it in mind. So therefore, it comes out, according to that, that in fact, we can say the Mishnah had very good reason to mention Medina la Medina, Medina Sayyam, in order to show that because, in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, from one Medina to another, you might have to say it, because then you have the problem of Ein Eidim Mitzurim L'Kaimah. Right now, the Gemara doesn't know that point yet. We're only going to develop that point later on. And that's above. So right now, we can assume that Rabba would say that the inference from the Mishnah is not that there's a difference in Eretz Yisrael between one Medina or within one Medina or across Medinas, but rather than Chutzlaretz, there's always a difference whether the difference would be between Chutzlaretz, where you always need to say it, whether you're in one Medina or going from one to the other, versus Eretz Yisrael, where you never need to, whether you're going from one Medina or within one to another or within one Medina.
Historically, from Yehuda to Israel, the kingdom of Yehuda to the kingdom of Israel, did they say it or not?
Well, this takana, like most takanas of the Chachamim in general, were made during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. It's very possible that this takana, b'fana nechtam, did not exist yet during the time when you had Malchus Yisrael versus Malchus Yehuda. So whether they did at that time might be a moot point because they may not have needed to. The better question to ask really would be when you're in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, if you wanted to travel from Yehuda to Galil, it was not always so easy to, and we touched on that in the Mishnah, because you had the middle part of Eretz Yisrael, more or less what's now considered the West Bank, was in the hands of the Kusim, and a lot of times it was difficult to travel through there. So, there is that consideration, and the Gemara is going to bring up that point later on. But yeah, as far as what you're asking, as far as the first basic method, we don't even know whether this takana existed. It may not have existed until the time of the second basic method, in which case, when the two kingdoms existed, it may have been a moot point. Okay. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean, according to Rabbah, you need to infer from the wording of the Mishnah that if you bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'fanenechtem. You don't need an inference. It says flat out in the Mishnah, ha-mevi get be'eretz Yisrael in its tzarech loymar b'fanenechtem. That if you bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, even from one Medina to another, even from one Medina to another within Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to. Then you don't need to say b'fanenechtem. So therefore, so you don't need to infer it from the wording of the Mishnah about. You don't need to infer it from the wording about Medina la Medina in Medina Sayyam, and therefore infer from that in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't make a difference. We see it flat out from the Mishnah. The answer is the Gemara says imeahi. Sure, but if you only had that havamina, then you would have thought hani midi'evad. Maybe that din would apply only b'di'evad. The Chachamim are not going to go so far as to say that if you bring a get in Eretz Yisrael from point A to point B, the shliach brought a get, and it turns out he wasn't there for the writing of it, and it's already a done deal. So we would say b'di'evad. Maybe we would allow it. But to l'chatchila, we would tell him no. We would tell him he has to be there to observe it. But now that we're saying Kamash Mulan, now that the Mishnah is saying that in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'fanenechtem, then it comes out, in other words, that l'chatchila or b'di'evad, there's no difference. To begin with, we never ask the shliach when he's bringing a get from point A to point B in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's from Medina to Medina, that he should have to say b'fanenechtem, he doesn't need to b'chlal. So that's why we need not only the info. Now that's why we need not only the explicit statement in the Mishnah, but also the inference from the Medina and Medina Sayyam in order to make it clear that it's l'hatchila and that it's not only l'hatchila and b'di'evad. Rashi, by the way, learns that what the Gemara is saying is if we only had the Reisha, which says that if you bring them from Medina to Medina, Medina Sayyam, that you don't have to say, then you would say, within Eretz Yisrael, it means that you should say, but b'di'evad you don't need to. So now comes the Sefer, when it says, if you bring it in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to, making it clear, therefore, that you don't even need to, even l'chatchila. And then Tosfos learns the other way around. Tosfos learns that it means if you only had the Sefer, that if it said, maybe get there, it's in its tzarech, you would think it means you don't have to, b'di'evad, but l'chatchila you still should. But because you have also the influence from the Reisha about Medina l'Medina, Medina Sayyam, then therefore that clarifies that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have any need for it, even l'chatchila. And the Tosfos just goes on to discuss another way of explaining why you need both of the influences in the Mishnah, or why you need both the influence and the outright statement. Tosfos points out you could also say that means b'di'evad means not when he already brought the get, but b'di'evad means when he wasn't there to observe the writing of the get. Rosh Hashanah, we would tell him l'chatchila, you ought to be there when you ought to be there. You know you're going to be a shliach. See to it that you're there when the get is written, when it's being brought from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. We're saying that's not necessary. Okay. The Gemara says here's another way. Shita applies
the sefer to the ratio.
No, so what we're saying is, according to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, if you only had the Reisha, you would think there's a difference between l'chatchila and b'di'evad. Now that we have the Sefer, it tells us there's no difference whether l'chatchila or whether b'di'evad, the same din applies. Tosfos says it the other way around. Tosfos's first explanation is that it's the other way around. We're saying that if you only had the Sefer, you would think there's a difference between l'chatchila and b'di'evad. The Reisha comes and informs us that there's no difference. You're not required, even whether you brought the get already or whether you haven't brought the get yet, you're not required to say anything. And according to Tosfos, the second point is when you're going to tell the shliach, you're not even obligated to be there to watch the get being written because you're bringing it from only one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's no issue any. There's not going to be an issue any. Okay. So now, the so
this,
so far
all this
had,
discussion. all this discussion of within Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, how does it apply to today's situation when we are in
situation is a good question. We can't. I mean, the truth is, the Gemara is going to mention later on that even in Chutz La'aretz, eventually they became more knowledgeable in these halachas, and therefore not necessarily did this din of b'fanenechtam continue to apply, because eventually the Bnei Chutz La'aretz also learned these dinim. So that might be the case. The truth is that how much of these dinim apply nowadays when a person is bringing a get from point A to point B, I'm not actually sure. I mean, the dinim are brought in Shulchan Aruch, but in practice, whether we actually require it, I don't know. When we get to the end of the sugya, then we can talk about more what the practical din is nowadays. It says in Shulchan Aruch that nowadays even in Eretz Yisrael you need to say b'fanenechtam, because not necessarily are all the Bnei Eretz Yisrael baki in these dinim either. And in those families in Eretz Yisrael, nowadays, the minhag is, even when you bring a get within the neighborhood, you still say on a nechtam. Sometimes the Ramah is not to say. Sometimes the shliach brings along with him not just the get, but also a hashah, also a power of attorney that has certification on it, as who are the edim of the get. So, in that case, you don't need to say anything, because you have that hashah, makes it clear that Bistin knew what they were doing, and Yeshua, that even that. The thing is that, nevertheless, any time you're doing it with a shliach, you say b'fan anichta. All of this, keep in mind, all of this is only when the get is being brought by a third party. Most of the time, when a get is given, you usually have the husband gives it directly to the wife in the presence of the edim, and obviously then you don't need to say anything at all. What we're talking about over here is you have a get that was written in one place and is being delivered in a different place, so then you have to make sure that the Beis Din that arranged the get knows what they're doing, or that you have Adim available to certify it according to Rabba's and Rabba's reasons respectively. All right, anyway, let's go on. The Gemara continues. The Ikka Demosiv Lahachi. Now, so far we have, the Gemara had tried to bring a question from the inference of the Mishnah on Rabba. So now, instead, the Gemara is going to bring another version of the inference that becomes a question on Rabba, which is going to have to be answered. So we said like this. The Mishnah had said again that if a person is bringing from Medina to Medina in Medina Sayyam, and needs to sit in front of Nechta, before Nechtam, the implication is Ha Medina Medina be'Eretz Yisrael Lo'Tzarech. So the implication is, if we bring it from one country to Eretz Yisrael from one country to another within Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to say anything. So the Rabba Nicha, according to Rabba, that's easy to understand, because all Bnei Eretz Yisrael know the dinim. The Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, it would be a question, if the problem is Ein Edim Etzurim Makayma, then you have, the fact is that when you're going from one Medina to another in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to have Edim available necessarily. In fact, Rashi says, why doesn't the Gemara ask clearly from the Sefer? The Sefer clearly says, if you bring it within Eretz Yisrael, you don't just say, the Gemara could have asked, how does that fit according to Rabba's Shitta? The reason is because the Reisha mentions the word Medina la Medina, the Sefer does not. So if you were to ask directly from the Sefer on Rava, then Rava would say, you know what the Mishnah is talking about when you bring within one Medina, within Eretz Yisrael. Then of course, Edom are easy enough to find, therefore there's no problem. So therefore the Gemara would rather be Medayah from the Reisha, where it says the words Medina la Medina, and the assumption is that saying Medina la Medina in Chutz La'aretz, you need to say implying, but within Eretz Yisrael you don't. But according to Rava, why should there be that distinction? Anytime you're going from one Medina to another, you should need to say b'fanenechtam, because ein edim etzurim l'kayim. Rashi goes on to add another point as well, that still we don't want to just do a question from the diuk of the lashon of the Mishnah and the Sefer, better to do a diuk of the lashon in the Reisha. In other words, given that if you're gonna have to make the question depend on a diuk rather than an explicit statement, then you may as well use the Reisha, because that's earlier in the Mishnah. Okay. So anyway, so that's the question on Rava, and the answer would be, again, don't say that the inference is that if you bring it from one Medina and out to another in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to say.
Ela Ema, rather, the inference would be the other way around. Hob Oisa Medina. But the inference is if you bring within one Medina, the Medina Sayam, Lloyd Sarah, then you don't need to. According to Rabbah, that's explained very nicely because you have plenty of Edom available within one Medina in the Medina Sayam. So the Gemara says, what? So what are you going to say then? If you're bringing within one from one Medina to another in Eretz Yisrael, what are you going to say? Tzarech. Then you do need to say b'fanenechta, according to Rava. Well, then why mention anything about Chutz La'aretz? Listening, I'm maybe Medina or Medina Stam. Just say a person brings from one Medina to another without saying anything about Medina Sayam versus Eretz Yisrael, and it'll be obvious the reason is because any time you're going from one Medina to another is Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Taimim. The fact that it's saying Medina Sayam, you have to say, implying but an Eretz Yisrael you don't, seems to be a question on Rabbah. So the Gemara answers, La'olam Medina L'Medina Be'Eretz Yisrael Nami Lo Tzarech. As a matter of fact, Rabbah will answer that when you're going from one country to another within Eretz Yisrael, in fact, you're going to say you don't have to say B'fan HaNechta B'fan HaNechtam. What about the problem of that people don't travel commonly enough from one part to another, and therefore you're not going to have Eidim Mitzuyim in the time, right? The answer is no. Given the Ikka Ola Regalim, since you have people who are Ola Regal from all over Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it'll be common enough that people are traveling from point A to point B, and therefore that you'll be able to find, and therefore you'll be able to find aid. So anytime you have a get coming from one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, then you won't have to say, because it's true, most of the year people are not going to be traveling, let's say between the Galil and Yehuda, like we were saying before, because of the Kusim, but for Aliyah L'Regel they will, and therefore you'll find Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaim. An interesting point, by the way, an interesting side point, there's a famous Tosfos in Pesachim. You have the Gemara tells at the beginning of Pesachim the famous story of a Goy who disguised himself as a Jew, and every year he would go and join in eating the Korban Pesach, and one time he brags to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda about how he's getting away with it, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda laid a trap for him. He tells him to ask for the fat tail of the animal, and they tell him the fat tail was supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach, and they realize something's afoot over here, and they found out eventually that he was a Goy. So Tosfos asked the question, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda need to use that method? Why couldn't he just go to Yerushalayim himself and tell them, I know who this guy is, and unmask him and let him deal with it there? And Tosfos' answer is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda did not have a requirement to go on Aliyah L'Regel. So everybody asked, because he lived in Chutz La'aretz. So everybody asks, where does Tosfos get that from, that a person in Chutz La'aretz should not be required to go on Aliyah L'Regel? Where is Tosfos getting such an idea from? So now, actually, so the Chesh explains Tosfos is getting it from Or Gemara. Because Or Gemara is saying that only within Eretz Yisrael are we saying that people are Ola Regel, and therefore that you're going to have Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaim, right? Implying that from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, not. Because the B'nai Chutz La'aretz are not required to come on Aliyah L'Regel. So that could be a source for where Tosfos gets that point from. Anyway, so Gemara says,
Aside from the fact that it was really Sakanas Nefashas to travel from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa.
Not necessarily. So it depends on times and places. I mean, listen, you know, it's Israel itself. Sometimes there was Sakonis Nefoshes also, but the Tosfos is saying a blanket statement that B'nai Chutz La'aretz are not required to do Aliyah L'Regel. So where are they getting that from? So here you have it. Shlomo Kluger gives this one answer. Anyway, the Gemara goes on. Tenach Bizman Che Bez Mikdash Kayam. Fine, that explains things when the Bez Mikdash is standing. You have Ola Regel. Bizman Che Bez Mikdash Kayam Maikel Meimer. What are you going to say when there's no Bez Mikdash, then there's no Ola Regel? The Gemara answers, fine. Keep it now. The truth is, there are Mephoshim who mention that even after, and in historical books, you find also that even after the Churban, there were, when possible, Jews would try to ascend to the site of the Bez Mikdash, to the ruins of the Bez Mikdash, to daven over there. Nevertheless, though, obviously, you didn't have as much of it as you had before. But the Gemara answer is still, Kibin de Ikka Bati Dinin de Kvi, since you have the Takana of Ezra, that Bidin should be sitting on a regular basis in the cities on Mondays and Thursdays, therefore, all over Eretz Yisrael, Mishnah Pichi, so therefore, common enough, you're going to have enough people traveling from point A to point B, because people are going from one place to another to visit the Bati Dinin, so therefore, even from one Medina to another, you're going to be able to get away without saying B'fan HaNechta, B'fan HaNechta. that might be another reason for the din in Shulchan Aruch, that nowadays that din doesn't apply, because nowadays you don't necessarily have batei dinim in every place in Eretz Yisrael. Or so certainly, you don't have necessarily people are traveling from one part to another to do that. Fine. The Gemara says, here's another point from our Mishnah that we need to explain according to Rabbah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Asilu mehegmunyo lehegmunyo. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even if you bring a get from one hegmunia to another, a hegmunia, we said on the Mishnah, is an area ruled over by a particular duke or nobleman or whatever. The word hegmon comes from a Greek word meaning a ruler. So even from that, you'd still have to say b'fanenechtem, and b'amar of Yitzchak. And Rav Yitzchak clarifies what does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean by that. What's an example of mehegmunia lehegmunia? He says ir achas hois of Eretz Yisrael. There was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael. And Tosfos points out, you have to say, of necessity, it was in, by the way, Tosfos, as far as this matter of Oler or Golem, by the way, Tosfos points out that in other areas of Halacha, as far as the Dinim of Macha, of Chazaka, we do actually say, for example, that Yehuda and Dalil are considered like there's a constant state of warfare between them because it's not so easy to travel from one to the other. But the Tosfos explained that there's reason to distinguish between over there a person who makes macha in one place. He may not find out about it. If he makes macha in one place, a person may not find out about it in another place, and vice versa. But when it comes to looking for Edim, they'll manage to do it even between Yehuda and Golden. Anyway, so now as far as Hagmunya la Hagmunya, so there was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael, and Tosfos points out of necessity it had to be in Eretz Yisrael, because if it was in Chutz La'aretz, then you'd have to say b'fanenechtem anyhow. At least according to Rabba. There was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael. The name of the city was Asosius. There were two rulers in the different parts of the city who were makbid one on another, and they had, so to speak, an iron curtain between one part of the city and the other, and they didn't easily allow people to travel from one part to another. Therefore, the Chacham had to say that when you're taking a get from one hegmonia to the other in this city, then you'd still need to say b'fanenechtem. So now, the Rabban Nicha, according to Rabban, it's easy to understand why, because the whole point is because of these two dukes who are fighting it out at one another, so therefore it's not easy to travel from one to the other, so you don't have Edom Mitzuyim Lakaimai. The Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, then it's a Kasha. According to him, why should it be necessary? In both Hegmonias, they know the din of Lashma, so what's the problem? And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua adds, you can't say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking only about Hatzila and B'dievet it would be fine, because if all the Tanoim that we said so far were requiring it, even B'dievet, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Pashtus, is saying also B'dievet. And then also the Ritva points out that if we're going to say all this time that Tanakama is saying that the reason is Lashma, then it's where we're going to all of a sudden say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that the reason is a different reason. You don't really have that in so many words in his statement. Or you're going to say all of a sudden he brings up the matter of Kiyum that nobody thought of until now, so therefore it's less likely that that's the root of their machlokes. So the Rabban, according to Rabba, it's easy to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. According to Rabba, it's a question. The answer is, the Gemara says, Rabba islay to Rabba. The answer is, as a matter of fact, Rabba does agree that Rabba's reason is a valid reason as well. In other words, you have Rabba saying the only reason is because ain't any Mitzvah in the time, right? Rabba is saying there are actually two reasons. Till now, we thought that Rabba says there's only one. Till now, we thought he's ignoring Rabba's reason. Now we're going to say that, no, in fact, he agrees that Rava's reason is a valid consideration. And therefore, he holds that you need both. When you have a concern of Lashma, or when you have a concern of Eidim Mitzurim Lakaim, right? Then you need to say b'fanenechtem. But if you have neither of those considerations, do you not have to say it? Well, then now that changes a lot of what we said so far in the sugya. There were a number of things that we said so far that are predicated on the idea that Rabba does not hold of Rabba's reason. Now we're saying he holds of it, and that explains Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion in the case of the two hegmonias. For example, when we said before that according to Rabba, the Tanakama and the Rabbanan Basiroi are arguing, and according to Rabba, the one is clarifying the other. Now, according to Rabba, we would say the same thing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, well, in Elamai Benayu, well, then what's the practical difference between the two reasons? According to, if Rabba holds, if Rabba holds that of both reasons, then when is there going to be a case where he holds that you'd need to say b'fanei nechtav and Rava would say that not, or vice versa? The answer is ikar b'nai d'asru v'etrei. We still have the reason. And Tosfos points out now. Tosfos points out a couple of things. First of all, Tosfos points out, first of all, earlier in the Gemara on Daf Gimel, we mentioned a point that when Rava had given his reason, we said that Rava had said the reason why you have to say both Befanin Nechtav and Befanin Nechtam, even though in principle, according to Rava, all you need is to validate the signatures, is because otherwise people are going to think it's like a regular Kiyum Shtaris. Now, Rava would say that fine, the Chachamim wouldn't have said to say Befanin Nechtav if it was only that consideration. Once they're saying because of Lashma, then they also say that even in Eretz Yisrael, then you also need to say Befanin Nechtav when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and so forth. Tosfos makes another point as well, before we answer in the Gemara, that you have Ola Regalim. So you still have there the Gemara didn't ask my benayu because there would be a difference. You could say we're in places where there's no fixed butte dinim or places where it's hard to travel from one to the other. Then you'd need now though the Gemara is asking once we say that Rabba agrees with Rabba's reason and when everybody knows of Lashma, as long as there's any problem traveling from one to the other, then you still have to say it. Then according to Rabba, where is there a case where you wouldn't have to say it? And the answer is, one difference would be if two shluchim brought it from Medina Sayam. So according to Rabba, there's no problem here at all. According to Rabba, the concern is that wasn't Lashma, because he said anybody in Medina Sayam is not familiar with Lashma. So therefore you need to say, according to Rabba, they themselves are Mitsuyan Lakaimoi, so therefore they don't need to say, Inami, Ba'usa Medina, Medina Sayam, or when they're bringing it within one country in Medina Sayam, so therefore again you have the problem where they're not familiar with Lashma, and therefore you need to say, according to Rabba, there's no problem at all because he's not concerned about Lashma, and you do have Eda Mitsuyan Lakaimoi, so therefore you're good, and therefore according to him you don't need to say it at all. Now that we got to that point, now that we understand that Rabba agrees with Rabba's Shitta, but not vice versa, now we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with analyzing Rabba's and Rabba's Shittas further and deriving more details of them.